Hebrews chapter number 6 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 6. Seems like you've already had, seems as though you've already had two sermons, so this is the third one tonight. I'll try and make this one a little shorter, okay? Hebrews chapter number 6. Let's read a few verses of Scripture beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Father, I pray now tonight that you'd grant us your presence here this evening, that you'd manifest that presence to each and every one who's a born-again believer, to everyone who've come to seek and to praise and to worship you, to be in your presence. I pray now you grant the great privilege of preaching, you'd put the power and the unction to it through the Holy Spirit, and give us that which you think we need most tonight. In the message, we give you the credit, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Great dangers in the Christian life. Great dangers in the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 6. You find that the book of Hebrews was written to converted Jews who came out of Judaism, of course. And the key words in the book of Hebrews are better things. Better things. And Paul, I believe, is the author of it and writes the thing that has his characteristics all over it. He talks about better things all the way through. Better sacrifices than those bullocks and goats and doves. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Better things, the grace rather than the law, and so on. And he goes through several of those in each area. In verse number 9, he says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." He's looking to those who are born again, saved, children of God, most of them members of churches in areas that Paul himself had started. And he says, we're looking for better things from you. Looking for them to grow in grace and to mature spiritually speaking, growing as a child in our family might grow from having been fed and taken care of in a proper manner. A Christian grows in his spiritual life very much the same way. We develop muscles not by just living, breathing, eating, and drinking, but we develop muscles by exercising certain muscle groups. And they grow and they help us. The Christian life is very much the same way. If you are to grow and mature spiritually in the Lord and be of benefit to the Lord, there must be exercise. There must be actions there. It's not enough to say you have faith, as James writes. He says, show me your faith by your actions. And so this is basically what Paul is saying here. And he's giving us some issues that will trouble our lives and hinder us from growing if we're not on guard and careful. Remember the message this morning we talked about the fact that Satan is looking for weaknesses in our lives in order to get an advantage over us. And Paul talks about some of those weaknesses here and encourages us to go on to better things. It's always a danger of a child of God of turning back into the old life. Always a danger for the child of God to get their eyes upon worldly matters and pleasures of life and fail to be reminded that there are better things to attain and better things to gain than what you see in the world. Oftentimes the children of God will, as we call it, backslide or turn back to the ways of their old lifestyle, not to be lost, but to miss their Canaan land, to miss their milk and honey, to miss their victorious lifestyle, to miss their victory and fellowship in Jesus Christ because of not growing and going on to better things spiritually. We're warned of some dangers here that will cause us to quote unquote miss the boat, if you please. And when I say that, I don't mean we've missed salvation, we've missed. We're talking to children of God about children of God, as Paul writes. And he's saying there's more to gain than there is to lose. Don't go back. There's more to gain. The children of Israel tempted God in the wilderness. It seems like daily they were tempting God, complaining, criticizing. You can't provide a meal in the wilderness. You can't provide water in the wilderness. There's no rest in the wilderness. It's stated that they missed their Canaan land. They missed their victorious life. They missed their rest in the Lord because they couldn't trust God. And so this is a danger with a child of God. Number one, one of the dangers in the Christian life would be the danger of us drifting along. Drifting. Hebrews chapter 2 in verse number 1, you find it says this, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed," the more earnest heed, be aware of, take notice of, sit up and listen. "We should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." It means literally to float by, not being driven, but floating on the water. Drifting, if you please. I've been adrift in a lake when the motor went out on the boat. It's not real scary. It's not something that you'd be afraid of necessarily unless the wind is high and starts pushing you along. But to be adrift in a river would be a horrible instance. For example, I learned to drive a boat from my best friend. I guess you drive a boat, you pilot a boat. I don't know. I just have a small boat. But I found out that in order to have control over the boat, you have to be going faster than the water is. If there's a current that's pulling you along, you have to be able to go faster than the current is in order to have control over the boat. Now, that seems like a small thing to many, but if you're a duck hunter, like I'm known to have been, and you go into these flooded rivers and hunt the flooded timber and the areas, to get from point A to point B, you must navigate the river. If your boat goes out, your motor stops, you're adrift. You're at the mercy of the current. I've seen pictures and stories and seen friends who have been in those situations where the trees were growing in the small rivers and they were in the flooded area and the current was strong, literally wrapped their boat around those trees. Those aluminum boats just get wrapped like a piece of paper around the tree. How dangerous a situation that is. There's no control. If your motor goes out and you're in a lake, you're all right. You're drifting along. Unless the wind begins to blow and you're headed for the rocks. In the river, if your motor goes out and you're in full current, you're at the mercy of the river. You have no control. You can't steer. You can't go against the current. you're headed for danger. Children of God, when we turn loose of God and just began drifting in our lives without being propelled along by the Holy Spirit of God, we are in danger. We are endangering ourselves when we just say, well, you know, it is what it is, and we'll just take whatever comes. You should be growing in grace. You should be actively being a part of God's family and actively seeking His will, His destination for your life, and searching for Him and listening for Him to tell you what's next. And then be active in faith. As James says, you say you have faith, but I don't see it in your life. You know, it's great. You can say, I have faith. He said, show me your faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. That's driving and not drifting. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be back in Hebrews. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 19, the Apostle Peter writes, and he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Man, listen, there's not a darker place on the face of the earth than out in the middle of flooded timber, early at 4 o'clock in the morning, no moon, no stars, clouds over the sky. And when you get out in water, it's hard to tell which direction is what. How do I get out of here if something happens? Where do I go? You can't see any landmarks. There's nothing there. You find yourself adrift, bumping into trees, objects going along. It can be a horrifying place. And the Apostle Peter tells us, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the book that guides us, he says. We have a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, child of God. You and I do well to take heed to what the book says. Oh, listen, I know the book. I've heard that story since I was a kid. You don't have anything new that you can tell me. Yeah, but are you acting upon what you know? Are you living your life that way? Peter says, whereunto you do well that you take heed to the book. You take heed to what God says. How much so? Listen to what he says. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Oh, man, I got to tell you, I've told this story before, but my youngest son and I, he's grown now and married, and we were out duck hunting, and we were staying till the last moment. The sun went down. It got dark in a hurry. It clouded up. It started raining. We were on the upper end of a lake above the highway and the bridge that went across the narrow end of the lake. We're on the upper end of the lake in the shallow area, and we'd been hunting all day. And he just won't quit. I mean, he's going to wait till the last moment. We started out in the boat. We had almost a mile to go back to where the boat dock was in our truck. It was dark. We had a little headlight. It won't shine 50 feet in front of the boat. And all we had to guide us was the light that we knew was on the pier at the boat ramp. And it was a pinpoint light almost a mile away. The waves were crashing as we came under the highway, underneath that bridge, and got into the large part of the lake. Those waves were rolling, and they were crashing, and the wind was blowing, and it was sprinkling rain, and it was dark, and not a star, not a moon, not a light except that little pin light way out there. I said, God, if you please get us out of here, I'll never do this again. You ever been in that place? I'll never do this again, Lord. I mean, the front end of the boat is rising and then it's crashing and then every wave and it's crashing. By the way, if you're not under power, if you're drifting along in a situation like that, you're dead in the water, boy. Your goose is cooked. It's over. You're going to capsize. You got to have power to turn the front end of the boat into the wave and catch it at an angle and we started back slowly towards that light, boy, the closer we got, the brighter it got. And I got in hopes we're going to make it. And the brighter it got, the closer we were. And finally, we got into that ramp and got the boat loaded and got out of there. And I said, thank you, Lord. I almost kissed the ground. I was walking. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm never doing this again. And we're going to get out of here while the light's still shining. We're getting out of here. But what I'm saying was that light was our focus. And we kept looking at that light in the distance. And we navigated towards it. It got us off the lake and out of the lake. And the Word of God is our navigating source. The Word of God is the light of God. And Peter says, look, you do well. You do well. The best thing you can do in life is listen to God's Word and obey it as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until it dawns, until the day comes and the day star arises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. The danger of drifting, moving along so slowly you can't make any progress, you don't see progress. Oftentimes church members will start missing once in a great while. They see no need for a Wednesday night service once in a great while. Lee Robertson said so many years ago, it takes three to thrive. You can make it on one service. You can make it on one meal a day. But if you're going to treat your body right, it takes three meals a day to thrive. It takes three meals, especially when we were farming, especially when we were out in the crops and the fields and working 12-hour days and putting in it. Food was our energy source. It takes three to thrive and be able to make a living. It takes three services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to thrive, Lee Robertson said. Oftentimes, church members start missing on Wednesday night because they don't see the need. And then Sunday evening comes along and they start missing. And then they're out of church altogether. You hardly ever see them. No intentions of quitting, but that's exactly what's happened in their life. Those who are in great moral sin started out small, and it got bigger and deeper and larger. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Doctrinal drifting is watered down and compromised truth. And sometimes people will compromise truth for numbers. Doctrinal drifting. Well, I don't know that this doctrine is absolutely necessary. I don't know that we ought to hammer this so hard. Well, he that walketh with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The danger of drifting. Notice the second thing. Not only is there a danger in our life of drifting, it's not full speed ahead. Remember when you first got saved? How happy you were? You remember? Remember you thought you just could not get enough of Jesus. And you could not get enough of His Word. And man, you were hungry and thirsty for His Word. That's like a newborn baby that you just can't fill up. It's one meal after another. Well, what happened to that? Where did that hunger go? Where did that thirst go? Where did that desire go? Well, we just kind of started drifting, preacher. That's exactly right. And the second thing that comes along is doubting. We began to doubt. In Hebrews chapter 4, I want you to notice, actually, I got it listed here, Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 17, and it gives you what he's speaking about in chapter 4. In Hebrews 3:17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Talking about God. Who was God grieved with 40 years? The children in Israel, the nation of Israel, wandered in the wilderness 40 years, remember? Who was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, to those who doubted God's word? They were doubters. They just could not believe God. They doubted. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of that. In other words, woe. We have a great example not to follow. The whole nation of Israel doubted God and could not enter into their promised land. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about the victorious life like Jesus said. I've come they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. God never intended that Christians go around full of anxiety, depression, and worry all the time. God meant for you to live above all that the way the rest of the world walks in that. And God intended for his people to be far above it, depending upon him, and he would give us the victory. So you find in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of that. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not, they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The danger of doubting. Those Israelites just could not believe God in the wilderness. Jesus made that statement for us on our behalf in the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The problem is we have Christians who are born again, saved, and doubting the Lord Jesus Christ. Still to this day, they cannot turn loose of the anxiety. They can't turn loose of the worry. They can't turn loose of the distrust they have in Almighty God. Did God not promise to take care of you? Did he not promise to be with you and never leave you or forsake you? Yeah, he did. Well, so we in the oil patch who recognize that jobs come and jobs go and recognize that there's some times in our lives that are pretty lean and pretty tough have to rely upon him and depend upon him and realize that he said, hey, everything works for your good and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I will take care of you. I will give you your every need. We have to believe that and trust that, rely upon that, and God provides. It's when we distrust him. It's when we doubt him. It's when we fail to exercise that faith in his promises that we fail. I've already seen God provide jobs for people here. We've been praying for, and I've been praying for in particular. I've already seen it happen now. And it's encouraging to keep on praying for others. The danger of doubting in our lives. Some people just can't trust Jesus Christ as Savior because they can't believe that it's that simple. That it's that easy. What do I have to do in order to go to heaven? Jesus Christ has already done it all. He's paid for your sin debt. He's paid it all on Calvary, and he asks that you trust him. You believe him. You come to him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, don't doubt him. Some doubt that Jesus is able to keep them saved. Look, if I were to ask you the ridiculous question tonight, how many of you are alive? And you'd think, boy, is this guy dumb or what? I'd have to say, how many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're alive right now? Raise your hands. And you raised your hand. Well, you're born. You were born of a father and a mother. You had a birth. You're alive. You're breathing air. Your heart's beating. You're there. I can see you. You can see me. Guess what? You can't undo that. There's nothing you can... You say, I can commit suicide. That's not the same thing. You just ended life. You did not reverse life. You can't undo your birth. You can't go back and undo it. It's done. When you get born again into the family of God, you can't go back and undo it, no matter what. You say, yeah, but sin in my life. No, sin in your life has already been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. You can't go undo it. It's an impossibility. Paul wrote to that here in a moment. I'm going to hit it in depth, but you find John chapter 10, Romans chapter 8, so many places in the Bible that Jesus talks about the fact that Satan cannot get you out of the hand of God. Neither can your own weakness and your own sinfulness separate you from the very love of Almighty God. It's an impossibility once it's done. But there's a danger of doubting in our lives because we've not grown spiritually, because we've not learned Scripture, because we're not applying and living by the Bible, which is the light in a dark world to shine our way. We're not obeying, and so doubts come in our life. Doubts come as a consequence. They're not the main focus. Doubts come in your life and have come in my life because I got away from the closeness of Almighty God, because I ignored the principles of God's promises and His Word, and they do the same thing in your life. I have a whole list of things about doubting, but I'm cutting it. We need to feed our faith, or else we lose it. I didn't say lose salvation, I said lose faith. You can't lose salvation, but you can lose faith. You can become so childish. You fail to grow spiritually that you cannot see any possibility of trusting a God you cannot see, even though He's your Father. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith to believe, faith to work, faith to pray, all of the above. A little girl fell out of bed one night, bumped her head on the floor. When asked about it the next morning, she said, I must have stayed too close to where I got in. It's a serious thing not to go on to maturity in a Christian life. She said, I must have stayed too close to where I got in the bed. So she fell out. You get it. You got it. You're smiling. Okay. That's the best she could explain it. Sometimes Christians begin to doubt in their lives because they stayed too close to where they were born again, where they were saved. There's a saving faith, but there's also a walking, living faith that we fail to exercise sometimes because we stay too close. We want that. Emotional experience of being born again. We want it to stay just like that, but we fail to grow and we fail to mature in the Lord. There's a third thing. Danger in the Christian life is a danger of not hearing God, or the danger of dull hearing. Hebrews chapter 5, look at it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Paul is writing about the great high priest of Jesus Christ being better than Melchizedek. And he says here in verse 11, of whom, speaking of Christ, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You are dull of hearing. Don't let Satan distract you. You're sluggish, you're lazy of hearing. The Lord said in several instances, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, focus. Satan's going to try to snatch this away. Focus. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, when you're born again, you have ears that are spiritual for the hearing of the voice of Almighty God. You have ears to hear the great shepherd when he speaks. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and they won't follow another. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. That means sluggish, lazy, or stupid, literally, not my words. Verse 12 says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Notice the words, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong. In other words, you got born again, you started growing, you started maturing, you started getting on stronger food rather than just being bottle fed along as a baby in Christ. You were growing, but somewhere along in your life, you made a turn for the worse and you started doubting God. And he says, for when for the time that you ought to be teachers, as being 10 years of being born again or 15 years being born again or whatever the case might be, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, the basic things that God has to order. And you are become such. You were not there. You became one as had need of milk. Look, you don't become one who needs milk when you get born again. You're a babe in Christ. It's a natural thing. Milk. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. You're already there. But when you began to grow and prosper in the Lord, and then you fall back, he says, now are you become such as have need of milk. You declined. You went backwards because of dull hearing. Notice that he said in verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yeah. You can be under God's word and still backslide. Look in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21, just to make a point, and I'll be right back to Hebrews. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, says God, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. It's not God's fault. He made us. He supplied us. But he says, you have eyes to see and you don't see. You have ears to hear and you don't hear. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass? I have a note in the margin of my Bible. In 2013, Al Gore and the rest of the climate change people, they just blamed the hurricane down in New Orleans on climate change. And now they're pushing that propaganda. But Al Gore in 2013 said this, in 10 years, oceans will rise so high as to lose some of our coastal cities in 10 years. We're only a year and a half away from that, aren't we? And I haven't seen even the smidgen evidence of the waters rising where the cities are in danger of being overwhelmed. The climate change and all the propaganda. Look, God is God. And God said, I've set a decree, and the sands of the sea will not pass, or the waters will not pass the sands and will not go beyond what I've set for them. Al Gore's full of climate change. Dull of hearing. There's another danger. The danger of declension. That's going back, declining. Let me hit this one and close. In Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to notice what he says. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Paul writes and he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, you go to church and the preacher gets up and preaches on salvation. Salvation sermon on Sunday morning. Well, people need to be saved, but I don't know of a whole lot of lost people that are going to church anymore. They used to go, but not as many anymore. Sunday night he gets up and he preaches on salvation again. Well, I know we need to be reminded of how and when and how and what we were when we got saved, but we don't necessarily need that milk again. Wednesday night he gets up and he preaches on salvation again. And the next week the same thing. And the next week the same thing. Paul is writing here and he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, how are you going to get born again? By what means? Through Jesus Christ. By trusting Him, having faith in Him, confessing our sin. Lord, come into my heart and give me a new birth and make me, you become my Savior and then become my friend. We don't have to keep pounding that. And Paul writes and he says, therefore, leaving the principles, the simplicity of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And the literal rendition is, let us go on to the perfection. There is perfection in cabinetry. There is perfection in masonry. There's perfection in doctoring, medicine. There's perfection in all kinds of things, but he's talking about the perfection. Being born again and living up to the standards of the person of Jesus Christ, who is the perfection. Notice, therefore, leaving the principles, the milk and butter of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Not laying again. Hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're born again, you're always born again. You don't go back and get born again every time you sin. You don't lose it and have to get it again. It's an impossibility. We already read it. Verse 4 said, it's impossible to renew it if you lose it. Impossible. Well, there's whole denominations that revolve around the false doctrine of being born again the second time or the third time or the tenth time. And the Bible here says it's impossible. If you were able to lose it, it's impossible to renew it. You can't get it again if it were possible for you to lose, which it's an impossibility for you to lose. But notice the danger of declension. If one's not going forward, then he's going backward. Saved people that fail to grow become in a state of no value in God's service. Saved people who are not going forward are literally going backward. He said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. He says, verse 4, it is impossible. Then he goes on and he lists these items. It is impossible, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again. Renew them again? Well, maybe he's just talking about reviving. No, he's talking about if you were to lose your salvation, lose your childhood of God your Father, it is impossible if you fall away to renew them again unto repentance. See, that's what you do to get saved. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that if they did that, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. I know you've heard preachers say before, you can't lose your salvation because if you were to lose it and you got it again, Jesus would have to come and die on the cross all over again. I know you've heard that. Well, right here's the verse they get that from. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Apparently, he wasn't able to save us to the uttermost in the beginning, if we can lose it or if we can sin it away, then apparently he didn't pay for the sin that caused us to lose it. So it puts him to an open shame. Not so. It's impossible. The danger of declension. My goodness. There's the danger of despising in Hebrews chapter 12, despising the chastening of Almighty God. In other words, children of God shouldn't despise the whippings they get from God. They ought to rejoice in them and say, hey, what an evidence I belong to the Father. He's my Father. Thank God he whips me when I go wrong. And that's because of his great love for us. And he gives us so many other things that can cause us dangers in our own life. Of course, the danger of drifting and doubting, the danger of dull hearing and not listening, the danger of declining, the danger of despising, the danger of disregard for others, the danger of disregard of God's word in our lives, and not paying attention to the preacher, the man of God, that God called and set in the place to proclaim the precious word of Jesus. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is, in verse 7 and again in verse 17, to follow those who have the rule over you. The word rule means guide. We're not here to rule as a king, a prince. God called us as an under-shepherd. God called us to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And it means to rule means to guide. Respect those, love those, pray for those who have the guide over you. Follow their lifestyles and their faith for your own benefit. Pray for them, you know, and that's what we're to do. Well, being a Christian is a great thing. Being a child of God, being secure in that, is a wonderful thing. Knowing that you know that you know that you've been born again. Knowing that God's your Father. Knowing that heaven is your home. Knowing that you're just temporary down here. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful. It's not about competition between the Mormon God or the Hindu God or, you know, Islamic God or, listen, there are no other gods but one, and his name is Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came and died on the cross for us. He said, I've come that they might have life. That's eternal life. And they might have it, meaning down here, more abundantly, a victorious life. And we get that abundant life the same way we get born again, by trusting him, putting our faith and trust in him, and living life every day with new energy and a new outlook for the supernatural. I can't wait to see what God answers in prayer next, because it's an amazing thing. You have not because you ask not. But when you see God answers prayer, it energizes you to pray more, increases your faith, and you trust more. And it's a great thing. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight.